This show proudly sponsored by Real American Freestyle Wrestling. Real American Freestyle is the first ever unscripted pro wrestling league created by Hulk Hogan, Chad Bronstein, Israel Martinez, and Eric Bischoff to give elite wrestlers a real shot at professional career. Real American Freestyle is where Olympians, world champions, and NCAA legends come to compete. Not in a cage, not in a script, but on the mat in front of fans around the world. This is real wrestling, reimagined for today. The first event kicks off August 30th in Cleveland, featuring matchups with some of the best wrestlers on the planet. You've never seen wrestling like this. Learn more at realamericanfreestyle.com.
We all love a legendary comeback, and Degree Original Cool Rush is back and better than ever. Cool Rush isn't just a scent, it's a movement, a fan favorite that delivers bold, fresh vibes and all-day sweat protection. Whether you have a man that spends hours in the gym, heads into the office early, or is just trying to stay fresh on a long day, Cool Rush has their back. Head to your local Walmart or Target and grab Degree Cool Rush, the fan favorite scent from the world's number one antiperspirant brand.
Joining us now, Mike Pillsbury. Michael, we're hearing good things about a possible deal with China. What are you hearing?
Well, the same thing, Brian. A key word that's being used is the framework, not an actual deal that will be signed with dollar amounts of soybeans or exactly when the next shipment of rare earth magnets will come. It's not that kind of deal. It's so-called framework is the word Scott Bessent has used several times now. That, to me, means no details are agreed to yet. It's awfully hard to get Xi Jinping, who's under threat himself from internal politics for his mistakes, to get him to come to the table is President Trump's first big miracle, I think. The second miracle is the patience President Trump has shown. You know, he had Scott Bessent go off to Madrid, Stockholm, London, Geneva, almost every European capital for these 1 or 2 day meetings. They didn't produce any agreement either. They kept using the phrase, well, we had constructive talks. That means no deal was struck. So we're still going down to the wire in this meeting, which sometimes it takes 2 or 3 hours for even it's called the summit one-on-one, 2 or 3 hours where the two heads of state are going to go back and forth. I think they won't be bickering. I don't think it'll be an auction. I don't think Xi Jinping will say, how about 100 billion soybeans? And Trump then say, how about 200 billion soybeans? It won't be like that. But we need to see some kind of action come out of this meeting. Worst case is they cancel the trips they've already announced. You know, Mr. Trump has said he and Melania are going to Beijing in about 3 months. And then he's invited Xi Jinping and his wife, Madame Peng, who's actually a general in the military, Folksinger, that they're coming to Washington, D.C. So that's the good news of is that those two trips take place in the coming 6 months or so. We can get more concessions on trade, more jobs for Americans, and a safer Taiwan. If there's a walkout, the worst case is a walkout, or the meeting is canceled at the last minute, or they can't agree on anything at the meeting. So what I'll be watching for, Brian, is something in between the walkout, canceling the future trips, or kumbaya, you know, China is going to buy 200 billion in soybeans in the next 3 or 4 years.
I think they're going to start buying immediately. The word is they might have gone beyond framework in the last 24 hours, and they're really optimistic it's going to be a major deal, including immediately buying soybeans. That's the key. If you ask these farmers, they need them sold yesterday. So you can't be like, okay, it's coming down the pike. I'll see you in a month, and we're going to send ships there. No. It's got to be right away. So, and we're not asking a favor. We got the best stuff and for the best price that have already been a proven commodity for China. And I understand, too, the rare earth deal, at least for a year, they won't touch it. But I think the U.S. made huge progress in trying to counter that checkmate that they have. And that's Malaysia signing a minerals deal. That's Thailand signing a processing deal.
Right.
And that is a deal with Australia. And I think Argentina is also on the precipice, including getting some of these Central and South American countries to leave the Belt and Road program like China did. So I think there might be some movement.
Yeah, that's the optimistic side, Brian. I'm trying to give you both sides. In terms of soybeans, they promised very specifically last time in January 2020, and then they didn't do it. And everybody kept waiting day by day after Xi Jinping signed the deal. And he never bought additional soybeans, nothing like what he promised to do. That's why I'm underlining the bad side for you, the downside. This kind of summit isn't necessarily scripted. you know, the topics are brought up by either side. And there's no sort of checklist. Okay, now we talk about Taiwan. Now we talk about ring magnets. That's what concerns me always, is when you don't have a draft communique ready to be signed by the two leaders, which they've made clear they don't have yet. Things can go bad.
So I want you to hear what they did do. Evidently, China is really pushing Trump on Taiwan to soften his support. They want Trump to come out and say he does not support an independent Taiwan. He wants him to say Trump opposes Taiwan's independence. He said to incrementally move it forward, and the next leader gets closer and closer to saying essentially, do with Taiwan what you did with Hong Kong, just go take it back. So they're really hyper-focused on this. And, you know, Trump has not dug in like past presidents on Taiwan, although he says, I don't think they're going to take it, and I think he would back it. In fact, he's been critical of them to a degree, and he's right, saying, stop spending 2% on your GDP, do it 5%. And they said, we will. And they say, why have you locked up all the chips? We should be sharing in that, but a free market goes to where it wants to. Your thoughts about China's focus on Taiwan, and what would that mean to them for the president to say he does not support an independent Taiwan?
Well, you're right. But right now, our position has been for seven presidents. In Mandarin, we say Biao Zhichi. Zhichi means support. We don't support independence for Taiwan. That's the current situation. President Trump's already endorsed that in a Truth Social about a month and a half ago. Part of getting to these talks is he tweeted or X'd, I support the One China policy. Now, what Beijing wants, and you're quite right, there's heavy pressure from Beijing. I don't think President Trump's going to give into it. They want him to say something they've asked previous presidents. The previous presidents have all said no. They want him to say, we oppose, in Mandarin, it's fan dui. We oppose independence. That implies we'll do something to stop the trend on Taiwan toward independence. This is a huge issue between Pompeo and Trump. Pompeo twice flew to Taiwan and said, I am for immediate diplomatic recognition of Taiwan. Trump won't do that. Trump says, no, I'm sticking with the previous seven presidents that I don't support. So that's where we're left. I would be astonished if Trump went all the way and said, I oppose and I will intervene to prevent Taiwan going independent. That's the big issue. But you're quite right. This is this is the biggest issue of the meeting.
Every day. America's first responders stand ready. Firefighters, law enforcement, paramedics, doctors, dispatchers, and people who put themselves on the line for public safety. But keeping them connected in moments of crisis has not been easy. That's why Congress authorized a nationwide network for public safety. Today, that promise is fulfilled through FirstNet. It's the only nationwide network built with and for first responders. So whether it's a big city, rural town, or remote tribal community, FirstNet helps ensure no call for help goes unanswered. It gives first responders priority access, never throttles their communications in the U.S., helping them to connect across agencies when it matters most. This isn't just a network. It's a lifeline, a bipartisan commitment to America's public safety built to serve those who serve us all. FirstNet is the backbone of our nation's emergency response and will continue to be in the future. FirstNet, built with AT&T. Learn more on firstnet.com/public safety first. Hi, everyone. I'm Brian Kilmeade. It gives me great pleasure to tell you that Simply Safe is now available at 50% off because you're listening to this podcast. So go to simplysafe.com/Brian. Now, why is Simply Safe so perfect? Number one, it's easily put in. Number two, it's unbelievably effective. Number three, they're using AI now to stop the break-in, not just catch the people that are doing it, but to stop them before they infiltrate your life and destroy your personal property. I personally trust these people. This is a game changer. The agents take action while the intruder is still on the outside. They confront the intruder, letting them know they're being watched on camera, and you know they're going to head for the hills because they're going to head right to prison if they don't, and hopefully they still will. There are no long-term contracts. There are no hidden fees. Get this, the U.S. News & World Report, they named them, Simply Safe, the best home security system. There's a 60-day money-back guarantee. So what price can you put on safety? Well, Simply Safe is easy to install. They're always improving the product, and it's affordable. Why can't you be safe? The answer is, of course you can. Go get Simply Safe. Save your 50% by going to simplysafe.com/Brian. Get it. So Michael, the one thing I believe is happening is that I think China's got real problems. And the real estate problem that they have, the commercial real estate, the fact that nobody wants to invest there, that new companies aren't opening up there because of the restrictions. They thought, well, we're going to put up with it because we want their market. It doesn't look like the Chinese have any excess income. They have no social safety net. Mm-hmm. So they're not spending. So when we say, well, we want to open up the markets to American products, I even think to myself, so what? They can't buy anything. The younger people aren't working. And they don't seem to have, at this point, much national pride that's, you know, the patriotic pride that they maybe had in the past. We know about the damage the one-child policy has had on their country. Mm-hmm. And even though they're very smart in locking up rare earth and smart to build up their military and smart to try to get in to all these countries with the Belt and Road program, I don't necessarily think it's working out too well.
Well, they're afraid of their own economic deterioration. You're quite right about that. The problem Trump faces, I think, is things that Biden could have done but did not do. One of them is the rare minerals. They knew about this, but they took none of the steps President Trump is taking, and God bless him for doing it. Biden could have done all that himself. He could have had a new agreement with Malaysia and Australia. He could have nailed down, you know, no export licenses for global ring magnet exports. Biden didn't do any of that. In fact, Biden didn't even have one round, Brian, not even a single round of trade talks by this woman named Catherine Tai, who probably no one's ever heard of. She's the head of USTR. So their economy could be in trouble, but that does not affect the nationalism of Xi Jinping and his ability to run China into the ditch. He could make economic mistakes, make the economy even worse, just to look tough against Mr. Trump. Again, Brian, I'm trying to introduce you to the downside of what could happen. Partly knowing the downside means if Trump succeeds, this is a miracle. This is a huge achievement just to get to the meeting and get a framework done. I'll be applauding and having a glass of champagne high in the air if just that much happens.
And listen, I agree with everything, and no one knows China better than you. You wrote a book about it, and you spent your career there. But I will say the pandemic and the election has a lot to do with China not fulfilling what they were supposed to be doing. You know, we even forgot about phase one of this trade deal because Trump lost and the pandemic came in, and they did it and have not paid one dime in restitution for it. So we don't really think about phase one. So I do think that factors in to a degree. But get this. I think China reportedly is starting to level off on their Russian oil purchases. And I got a report that they're going to make an announcement about that and the war in Ukraine. Now, look, we know they're tighter with Russia than they are with us. I get it. I'm totally, my eyes are wide open. But when it's a detriment to them on the global stage and they're looking to win us over to get access to our markets or relief on tariffs, they might be saying, you know what, guys, you know, take your foot off the gas. Because they did not have bad relations with Ukraine prior to the invasion.
That's right. And China actually has its own Ukraine peace plan. It's kind of pro-Russian, but it's partly in between the American plan and China's own ideas. But what I'm afraid about is Trump needs to get a lot of credit if this works out. And I don't think we should be casual or overly optimistic that it's going to happen for sure because we're strong and China's weak. It could happen. I hope it does. But a huge amount of effort's gone into this by President Trump in his second term. In his first term, as you and I know very well, Brian, he was always fighting with Rex Tillerson or Jim Mattis or John Bolton.
That's what I was just talking about.
So now he's got a real team that works for him. And I wish them a huge celebration if they pull this off.
Right. And I think the Rubio says, you know, when asked his opinion, he knows to do it, but he knows who he'll give it. And he knows, but he's in, you know, he's very tough on China. Didn't China ban him from traveling there? I don't know if that's going to be even alleviated for this trip, even though they're going to meet in South Korea if it ever happens. So I know he's just as tough on China, maybe as Pompeo, but he's going to say, Mr. President, what do you need me to do? And then he's going to say, if he says, Marco, what do you think? Marco will tell him. And that's what works. Right. And that's basically what works in companies.
Marco Rubio won me over, Brian, when he held up a copy of my book on the floor of the Senate and said everybody should read The 100-Year Marathon by Michael Pillsbury. So you can't be more of a fan than I am of Marco Rubio. But I think you're right. He knows who the boss is, and he's put aside some of his really harsh anti-communist views in order to follow this Trump strategy of the two couples exchanging state visits in the coming year. That's the success that I'm really looking for, because more concessions can come out of China, Brian, once they get past this obstacle and start looking for even more details. And frankly, I think President Trump wants China to help the American growth rate. Remember, bringing back our jobs, expanding the markets in China under pressure for our companies. This is part of President Trump's dream that he wrote in a book 15 years ago, very clearly. But he also said in that book, the Chinese are the world's best negotiators. He says, I decided not to invest in China because they're such good negotiators, I couldn't make any profit out of it. So Trump's got a kind of a positive view of how the negotiating skills of the Chinese side. That's why I say it'll be a miracle if he pulls all this off.
But by the way, whether he believes it or not, it's a great thing to say. For a country that prides itself on its pride, hey, you guys are great. Right. You know, you're going to get over on me. I'm a little wary about going in here. It's a great play, you know. So, Michael Pillsbury, I should have booked you on Friday. That's what I should have done to finally to analyze the aftermath of the meeting. But thanks. Always great to have you on. Thanks, Michael.
Thanks, Brian.
It's Will Kane Country. Watch it live at noon Eastern Monday through Thursday at foxnews.com or on the Fox News YouTube channel. And don't miss the show. Listen and follow the podcast 5 days a week at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.